recently, our company softball team lost the big game by one run. Then Dale tried to console us with the quote, "Winning isn't everything." Dale's a loser. I play to win, like early payout from Bet365. If my team goes up big, I get paid out instantly, even if they blow the lead later.
Sound familiar, Dale?
Bet365. Winning is everything. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-MY-RESET. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
The Late Night Anger Management Class, Level 2, has begun. The stage is set. The bracket is set. The National Basketball Association playoffs start on Tuesday night with the play-in tournament. I don't know. Are they technically the playoffs? No. But it's not the regular season. Thank God the regular season is over. It's done. So the brackets are set. FanDuel's posting numbers as we speak in the overnight hours. And there's been a live movement already. Listen, there's a lot of money coming in right now on the Washington Wizards, all right? Listen, it was about 45 minutes ago we had Dave Sharapan on. And we were talking about this number, and it was plus 120. It's now plus 108. We'll see what happens before the show is done. The Lakers were 7-point favorites. Not anymore. 6.5. 6.5. Early Golden State. Early Golden State action. They play Wednesday night in the play-in. That is the nightcap on Wednesday. The Lakers opened to 7-point favorites. Now sits at 6.5. Memphis Grizzlies. It's funny. Memphis are laying 3 against San Antonio, and the Pacers are laying 3 against the Hornets. All these other games, there's all kinds of line moves and stuff, except for those two. Because they're like, really? How many people out there are like, oh, yeah. The Pacers are a lock. The Hornets are a lock. They're going to win that game for sure. How many people out there, do you trust the Memphis Grizzlies? I'm not giving you a pick for this game right now, but I would take the Spurs here. I'm leaning with the Spurs. I'm leaning with the Spurs. But nevertheless, we don't have to give a pick right now. We're just telling you the lines. So the bracket is set. Charlotte Hornets get 3 points against the Pacers on Tuesday night. That's the early game. 6:45 Eastern time. 3:45 Pacific on Tuesday. Pacers -3. Total 229. The Washington Wizards, as we stated, the money keeps coming in on them. They're plus 108 right now. Total is 234.5. We don't have totals for all the games yet. San Antonio and Memphis. Memphis -3 on Wednesday, the play-in game. They play that game at 7:45 Eastern time. The Warriors and Lakers, as we discussed, there's been line movement. Lakers were 7-point favorites. That game's at 10:15 on Wednesday night, Eastern time, 7:15 Los Angeles time. The Atlanta Hawks are getting 1.5 points at MSG on Saturday against the Knicks. The Bucks were 6.5-point favorites over the Heat. That's down to 6 right now. And the Denver Nuggets are 1.5 favorites over the Portland Trail Blazers. Bring it!
We should come with a warning label.
Caution.
24-hour sports talk
may cause mild addiction.
Get on the grid. This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Radio, the internet, TV, satellite, and our mobile app. We make it easy. Like
real easy.
In fact, if you're not listening,
it's you.
It's always you.
Slacker.
We are the Sports Grid Radio Network.
You're listening to Sports Grid Late Night with Gabe Morenci on Sports Grid Radio. Sirius XM Channel 204.
The Late Night Anger Management Class continues. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabriel Morenci. Ian Cameron, a.k.a. Bob Bano. We're talking pucks right now with one of the ice guys. And It's been a wild weekend of NHL playoff hockey, and no game was wilder of a battle than that matchup in Florida. Listen, Florida's an insane state to begin with, so you know we're not surprised that it's delivered an insane series. But back and forth, great, very exciting hockey between the Tampa Bay Lightning and the Florida Panthers. And they look like they were destined to go to overtime as well, Babano, but a late goal by the Tampa Bay Lightning. Game one winner. Lightning take game one up 1-0.
Unbelievable hockey game. One of the better games, the best game I've obviously seen the last 48 hours. I'd say it's one of the better playoff games I've seen maybe the last couple of years. I don't want to go back too far because there's been a lot of good playoff games, you know, in the course of my life. But the last couple of years, I mean, this has got to rank right up there. I mean, it had everything, Morenci. It had an unbelievable breakneck pace that never stopped from start to finish. This game was up and down the ice. There was no sitting back and waiting for the game to unfold on either side. It was take the game to the opponent, press the attack, pinch the defense whenever we could, keep the offensive zone pressure on the other team. That's what this game was between the Lightning and the Panthers. And the physicality, I mean, I think the physicality and the scrums and the rough play and the hard hitting of this game alone was more than the previous three playoff games we had seen combined. The Vegas game, the Pittsburgh game, and the Boston game on Saturday night. This was hit to hurt. This was hit with ill intentions, ill will, mutual dislike, a lot of hatred, scrums after the whistle, lots of coincidental minor two-minute penalties. Half this game, Morenci, was played at 4-on-4 because everybody's getting coincidental minors for roughing and pushing and shoving and punching guys after the whistle, which tells you how much these two teams don't like each other. But at the end of the night, Gabe, Florida, I think, played a great game, but they let one get away. I think they played a really strong hockey game, but it's those little breakdowns. And look, you can't give up a breakaway, Morenci, to arguably the best player on the Tampa Bay Lightning forward-wise in Braden Point with a minute to go in a tie hockey game. That just can't happen. It's a learning experience for this Florida group, but if one thing they've proven tonight, despite how tough this loss was, they had a 4-3 lead in the third period, couldn't hold it. But what they proved tonight in this game, Morenci, was that they could play toe-to-toe with Tampa Bay. It's a question now, can they pick themselves off the mat after a very, very disheartening loss?
What a performance by Point, though, huh? Just putting the Lightning on his back in the last 10 minutes of this hockey game, and as well as Kucherov, Babano. Kucherov comes back, boom. You know, two goals. That's the thing with Tampa Bay. I had my doubts about their health, Babano, right? All right, are these guys just going to be able to come back, step onto the ice, and everything's going to be fine? I guess the answer is yes, they can.
It sure was. I mean, Stamkos was good, even though he was a little quieter in terms of offense. Kucherov, you mentioned the two goals. And unfortunately for the Panthers, so that was a concern. You're right. I mentioned that, too, all week long. It's yeah, they're going to get these guys back. And, yes, they're outstanding offensive talents. But can they just come back and perform and produce and not screw up chemistry and not screw up cohesion? Look, the Lightning have been playing without these guys for weeks. And in the case of Kucherov, the entire regular season. So just bringing them back in all
for
of a
me,
sudden.
It's the speed thing, too, man. Not so much the chemistry, but I get it. You're right. It takes, you know, a couple of, you know, game or two, actually, normally a few game, a week or two, to get that chemistry back. But for me, just for a player to come back and play at the pace of what an NHL playoff game is going to be, very impressive.
It was very impressive, and Kucherov, again, that's another thing Florida's going to have to rein in, and I think both teams are going to talk about it. Lots of penalty parade tonight, a lot of power plays, and both of these teams have really good power plays. I think that was on full display tonight in this game. Florida's power play is good, Tampa Bay's power play. I mean, it's going to come off as, wow, I mean, that great performance by Barkov and Huberto, but you lose the game, but it still has to be said. They were magnificent. It's a shame for Florida they couldn't win this game with how those two guys played. But Huberto and Barkov were amazing tonight. Barkov all over the ice. Huberto, and physical as well. Barkov throwing his weight around as well, which was very impressive. And Huberto with the great goal to tie the game in the third and an unbelievable no-look backhand assist on the go-ahead goal that gave Florida the lead 4-3 at the time. Jonathan Huberto, just amazing tonight. And to think they got Barkov and Huberto playing at that level. They got Carter Verhaeghe, the former Tampa Bay Lightning player, chipping in with a goal. They got all of these great individual performances and a pretty solid team-wide performance, if you ask me, tonight by Florida. and you still don't win the game. I mean, that is going to be the ultimate mental challenge and hurdle for Florida. Put this behind you. Look at the good that you did tonight in this game and realize that, hey, this was easily a game we could have won. We can't get down. It's one game. We've got to find a way to park this and find a way to try to replicate what we did, because we did a lot of good things tonight, and we got to bring it again that way in game two.
I agree with you. I think if you're the Florida Panther players and coaching staff, you're not in a panic, right? You know, you're right there with this team. But in reality, let's be real, Babano, it just looks like Tampa are just too much, man. Like you said, dude, Florida threw the kitchen sink at these guys, and they still managed to pull it out. And you know, we talk about these guys coming back. They're only going to get better as well, Babano, as they get their legs underneath them. It might be one of these deals in this series where Florida loses, like, every game in overtime or every game by, like, one goal. You know what I mean? It'll just be like, God, yeah, we were so close, but we just couldn't. It's that, just that skill level, bro, that Tampa have, man. Not a lot of teams can match that.
The fourth goal, the goal that tied it, 4-4. It's an unbelievable play. I mean, he purposely, deliberately slap passes it to Kucherov, thinking it's going to be a hard pass across, and it's an off-speeder. It ends up on point stick, and he's got a wide-open net because it completely throws off the timing of Sergei Bobrovsky in net. And it's a wide-open – it's just that kind of intellect, that kind of hockey IQ, that kind of skill and ability to pull off that kind of play. It's the kind of stuff that Tampa Bay's become known for over the years with this core of forwards, Point, Palat, Killorn, Stamkos, Kucherov. Johnson, we didn't even hear much from Johnson tonight, and he's usually pretty good in the playoffs. What if he gets going? So, yeah, there's a bunch of concerns now with this healthy, loaded-for-bear Tampa Bay team. And you wonder if Florida let this one get away, can they get the next games back? And obviously Kucherov and Stamkos getting the game under their belt, you got to think they're going to be better in rhythm, better in terms of their timing in game two. So, yeah, that's definitely pause for concern if you're Joel Quenneville, and it's going to be interesting to see how he keeps his team ready to return fire on Tuesday night in Game 2, because, look, there's going to be a lot of good things. It's hard to see it in a loss, but, boy, Tampa Bay, they were ripe for the picking tonight and still managed to pull out the win.
One thing about Tampa as well that I noticed, Babano, is just how relaxed they are and how good they are, but how relaxed they are. And that's the case, man. Cooper was under a lot of pressure over the years, guys, right? They kept on getting there. They would fall short. People were wondering, do we have to make a coaching change? But how do you fire a coach that's like the best, you know, that has the best record every year, right? But we're not winning. Now that they finally won, they don't have that pressure. And you can tell. They play loose, and they're just assassins. You said it, Babano, like, everything they do has a purpose. You know what I mean? Like, a lot of teams will sort of chase the puck around. These guys, they got one-timers. They all know where everyone's going to be all the time. They know each other so well. They're just they're a fun team to watch play because they're so skilled and they play so well as a team together. They're a very difficult team to deal with, and you know what? Probably my bad for not seeing how dangerous they are coming into this, you know, after winning last year. But for me, Babano, like we talked about, it was simply just a health issue. I was like, I don't know, how healthy are these guys, right? How healthy are these
guys? And a hangover. Is that yearning for a Stanley Cup as prevalent as it was last year? Do they still want it as badly?
Some teams lose the hunger, or some other teams, you know, just go on a run after that, right? It's sort of like the golf guys that haven't won a major before. Sometimes a guy will win a major and that's it. He's just happy. And other times it's like, you know what? I'm going to go and win another three or four majors now. All right, we'll continue to break it down with Ian Cameron. Bring it.
You can listen to Sports Grid on the radio, TV, or the internet.
Eight technology grand.
Keep it here on the Sports Grid Radio Network.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Sports Grid is available on the radio, internet, TV, satellite,
and don't forget
our mobile app. So if you're not getting it,
you're just not trying.
Keep it right here. This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
Sports Rage Late Night continues. I am Gable Morenzi. We're breaking it down. Sirius XM Channel 204. You know the digits. You know the drill. Ian Cameron joins us every Sunday and Wednesday. We're talking pucks right now. NBA playoffs set to begin with the play-in tournament on Tuesday. But let's stay on the ice right now, and let's send it to the Strip in Las Vegas, Nevada, Babano. I'm telling you, dude, coming into this series, coming into the playoffs, I talked about it. You and I talked about it last week. I brought it up. I've been bringing it up all week. Like, everyone talks about Vegas. Everyone talks about Colorado. Minnesota were right there with those guys. Minnesota takes game one, and I'll tell you what, Babano, they don't lose a lot of games on their home ice, Minnesota, and Vegas never win there either. Like, this is a bad deal for Vegas, and if there's an upset in the making happening, Babano, this is the one. And I don't even know how big of an upset it's going to be, really, to be honest with you, but I think Minnesota are really, really dangerous, and if Vegas don't win game two, they're done. They're not coming back and winning. Simple as that.
Yeah, this was an incredible goaltending battle. I mean, both guys. It's a shame somebody had to lose this. Cam Talbot or Marc-Andre Fleury. They were both brilliant. Cam Talbot faced more shots, and I think Vegas still had the better of the play, but the chances and the shots that Minnesota got, a lot of them were really high danger, high quality, and Marc-Andre Fleury had to make some terrific saves, multiple glove saves, flash in the leather. Diving post to post to make a couple of saves in this game. The unbelievable 360-degree windmill spinorama save move that he made in the third period to keep a goal out, Fleury. At his age, to see him just be absolutely on top of things today was magnificent. And it was equally as gut-wrenching to see that the goal that went in on him in overtime, the Joel Eriksson-Ek game-winning goal for Minnesota, went in off his own player in front of the net. It deflected off the Vegas player and went in, changed direction, no chance at all for Fleury, and that's playoff hockey. That's what happens sometimes. You're going to get the bounce. Minnesota got the bounce in that situation, and it was a tough way to lose for the Vegas Golden Knights. Much like, I'm going to repeat this mantra, but like Florida, like Boston, like Pittsburgh, like a lot of the teams that lost in the game one, there was a lot of things to like for Vegas. I thought they played a pretty good hockey game, but at the end of the day, they're holding a loss. And now the question is, how do you respond? How do you try to replicate what you did today and just have that little extra gear to, you know, maybe give up that goal you didn't give up, to not give up that goal you gave up in overtime, to maybe capitalize a couple more times on your chances? That's what it's going to take. And obviously, having Max Pacioretty back in the lineup would help. Now, I don't want to hang the loss on that. They should be able to win without him when you got Stone and Carlson and Smith and Marchessault and Chandler Stephenson. You've got more than enough. It's Alex Tuch. You've got more than enough offense. But definitely Pacioretty was missed. He's had an incredible season for the Golden Knights, and we'll have to wait and see if he's back in game number two.
We've seen this from Vegas, though. Not just this year, Babano, but it seems to be a Vegas thing. It's actually almost like the city itself. It's all or nothing with the Knights. You know what I mean? Like, they're capable of scoring five goals, but they do have these stretches, Babano, where the puck just won't go in for them. And
like
I swear,
Vancouver series last year.
Yeah,
Kempo just
exactly
nuts, like, against them, just going crazy.
Yeah, dude, like 20. It's not like they're not playing well. It's like the puck's just not going in, guys.
Yeah.
Right. It's one of these deals. We've seen this before with Vegas, Babano.
Like I said, we saw it last year again with Thatcher Demko on the bubble last year in that series that went seven when it probably shouldn't have went seven because Vancouver was getting killed in every statistic. On goal, high danger chances, goal expected goals, all of those margins. I mean, Vegas was crushing Vancouver in every stat, in every category, but the puck wasn't going in. And look, that's the thing about playoff hockey, and that's the frustrating thing. We love it, but it's also the frustrating thing if you're on the losing side of it. You can dominate shots. You can dominate territorial play. You can dominate high-danger chances. You can dominate expected goals margin, but if the puck doesn't go in the net, it doesn't matter a damn. It does not matter a damn, and we saw that with a bunch of these games this weekend. You could argue Pittsburgh had better quality chances than the Islanders. You can argue Florida had better quality chances.
You're damn right, yeah.
In a lot of these games, Vegas against Minnesota. But at the end of the day, you got to put the puck in the net. You got to put the biscuit in the basket. You know, you got to find a way to finish. And if you don't, we know what happens, Gabe. You can control the play. You can be taking the game to the opponent, be in the offensive zone more than your opponent. And that one mistake, that one breakdown, that one turnover, that one costly penalty at the wrong time, and all of a sudden a win goes to a loss. It can happen as simple and quickly as that in the postseason.
We've said it before a million times over the years. The two sports where you can get screwed over, in which you were actually the better team and you played better, you had more scoring opportunities, you actually dominate the game and you lose, is hockey and soccer, right? Hockey and soccer. You'll see it sometimes in soccer, Babano. One team will have like 13 shots on goal. The other team has none and they score on a penalty kick, right? And it's like, you got to be kidding me. You guys, either you got a penalty kick or they'll score on the one goal. They'll have two shots and they'll score once. And you see it in hockey. Like football, the better team wins, right? It's very rare that we deserve to, you know, you'll get screwed every now and then by a call.
Once in a while, I've seen those games with the minus six turnover margin, even the opponent, and we lose. So
generally the better team wins, right? But it's like, or, you know, who played better will win. You play good, you play better than the other team will win. Hockey's a bitch like that, but you can play better than the other team and just fall short.
Yep, 100%. Now, the only difference with hockey and soccer is hockey's 1,000 times more exciting and more physical sport, but that's another story.
Settle down, I'll give you the physical, but I don't know. Well, let me ask you, which one's more popular? So, I don't know. I was going to say about it. I think a couple of billion people disagree with you, but point taken.
Hey, I won't argue that. I won't argue that. It's an international dominant sport, soccer. I will never stand in front of that.
Hey, listen, baseball, you can argue baseball is boring. Some people, people are like, you say soccer's boring, but baseball isn't. Especially these guys can't put wood on a ball. But no, point taken with hockey. Hockey, the NHL, very, very exciting stuff. But, you know, Minnesota's a dangerous team. But I don't think Minnesota would have problems with Colorado more so. I don't know. Maybe it's just one of these matchup deals. But Minnesota have been a thorn, bro, in Vegas' side all year.
They won the season series against Vegas. It's not at all shocking that Minnesota's going toe-to-toe with Vegas and has a chance to win games in this series, win today, and potentially win this series. Kirill Kaprizov, Kevin Fiala, Matt Zuccarello, these guys in particular, there's more. But these three in particular have given Minnesota a quick-strike offense for the first time that I can ever remember. This franchise having that ability. Minnesota, going back to when they started in the league, Jacques Lemaire was the coach. All they did was the left wing lock and the trap all over the ice. That's all they did. They then went to a couple other coaches that played a defensive-minded style. Mike Yeo never let these guys go up and down the ice, straight chances. He didn't really have the players to do it either. Even Bruce Boudreau, the most recent coach before Dean Evason took over, he didn't really let them play a wide-open style of hockey. But Dean Evason now is legitimate offensive weapons and game-breakers, and you're seeing them make a difference for this Minnesota team. This has been the best Minnesota Wild team offensively maybe in this franchise's history. I don't think it's a stretch to say that, because so many of those years, even when they did make the playoffs, they had to win games 2-1, 3-1. You know, if they were going to have any kind of success, they just didn't have that top six forward elite level skill, elite level talent, playmaking ability, finish. Now they do, and they're a completely more dangerous team because of it.
So the Minnesota Wild with a 1-0 overtime win to take game one of their playoff matchup against the Vegas Golden Knights. Updated series price right now. Minnesota Wild -114. Vegas Golden Knights -108. This series to go seven games +175. Six games, same number, +175. Five games is +280. I'd be really surprised if this series actually doesn't go seven games, Babano. They're both so good. Is either one of them really going to just go on a run? I mean, we talked about it. Unless Vegas just has like horrible Vegas gambler luck and Minnesota go up 2-0, they're going to be in trouble. But what do you make of this right now? Would you say six games, seven games? You think this goes seven? How do you think it plays out?
I hope it's seven, because I have seven game series prop bets on that series, Minnesota, Vegas, and Tampa Bay, Florida as well. I'm on both of those series to go seven games, which is +210, I believe, on both of them. A really good price on that. So I hope it goes seven. I still think it'll go seven. Because you look at it, Vegas has had trouble in Minnesota. I will say that. But they did win in overtime the last time they played in Minnesota. So yeah. I think Vegas can win game two, split at home. I think we could see Vegas have a chance at least to split in Minnesota. Minnesota's now shown they could win in Vegas. And even if they don't, Vegas could hold serve in game five. Minnesota gets them in game six, and there you go. We get seven games in this series. So I think it's within the realm of possibility. I don't think Florida's going away against Tampa Bay. They played too well. I don't think Florida says, man, these guys are just better than us. There's no way a Florida Panther player in that dressing room, despite the disappointment of losing to on Sunday night, is going to say they're really a lot better than us, that Tampa Bay team. No. So I don't think they're going down or going away without a serious battle and a serious fight. So I still think that Florida-Tampa series and the Minnesota-Vegas series both have legit seven-game potential.
Yeah, and don't forget about Boston-Washington, bro. Come on, that's got seven
that
games
too.
All over it.
Although I didn't pick that one, so I'm not as...
yeah, but you can still get it at plus 175. Yes, not bad. Yeah, it was only plus 200 before the series started. So that's the number, guys, plus 175 to go seven here. Minnesota Wild, minus 114. Vegas Golden Knights, minus 108. All right, listen. We'll take a quick break, and then on the other side, we'll break down Monday's games with Babano. As I said, we've got some new matchups and some fresh series coming up. And don't forget, we still have the Leafs, the Canadians, the Oilers, the Jets, and all that and more. Bring it.
Took you long enough to get here, Sporto.
Now that you've found us,
keep it right here for sports news you can use. We are the Sports Grid Radio Network.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to a different kind of sports talk.
We're not just talking about sports,
but talk about sports you can use. Get the winning edge. This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
You're listening to Sports Grid Late Night with Gabe Morenci on Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM Channel 204.
We're talking pucks on the Late Night Anger Management Class. This is Sports Rage. I am Morenci. We're breaking it down with one of the ice guys, Ian Cameron. You can follow him on Twitter, at Babano, Sports Pub Radio. He does a million videos a day, podcasts and everything else in between with some winning suggestions. So let's jump on to the ice now, Babano. Monday night's slate here. And as I mentioned going out in the last segment, we've got some fresh blood. We've got some fresh blood coming up, including the Nashville Predators, the Carolina Hurricanes, the St. Louis Blues, the Colorado Avalanche, and also we hit the Boston Bruin Washington Capital game earlier if you're just joining us. But just to quickly recap on that, you know, I this is a tough spot, man. I get it. I get, like, you know, all right, you sort of lean with Boston here, but I have a hard time with Boston being minus 132 favorites in this game again, Babano. I just do.
Yeah, you could argue the price is maybe, look, it's a situation where you could see this Washington being undervalued once again. And sometimes there's a team that's just undervalued all series, and you can ride that team. I've done that before. I'm not convinced this is the series to do that, because when I look at game one and I look at it objectively, Washington, two of their goals were deflection goals, or they got a little bounce, a little puck luck, and Boston didn't really generate as much offensively. They had the puck. They didn't shoot enough. They didn't generate enough with it. The top line of the Bruins didn't do much. Bergeron, Pasternak, Marchand. Bruce Cassidy kind of challenged them after game one. And usually when he challenges that top line, they're a lot better the next time out. So I look at it as Boston will be a lot better as a team in game one. We'll see who's in net. Is it Anderson? Is it Samsonov now that he's been cleared from COVID-19 protocol? Either way, I expect a better Bruins game. I think they win. I think they even the series. I don't know if I'll bet them game two, because as I stated earlier, I've already got them to win the series, but yeah. I would only look Bruins.
Yeah, and I think this is going seven, but I think that's the way to approach it. Because even if Boston lost again, they still wouldn't be out of it. Like, they have, this is a very resilient team with a lot of postseason experience. So I think we're going the distance over there. So Nashville and Carolina, nobody's given Nashville a chance.
Yet, you know what? I'm surprised they're not bigger favorites here. FanDuel's got minus 188 in game one, Babano. So Predators plus 158, total 5.5. What's your opinion on this one?
So I like Carolina to go to the Stanley Cup final. So you obviously think, no, I'm like them to win this series. There's no question. But there are some issues here. I mean, this Carolina team, in terms of their full roster, you know, their top guys, they really haven't played a meaningful game in a while. Let's keep in mind, they rested a couple guys down the stretch. They had already clinched the Central Division. So is that chemistry, is that cohesion going to be there? We'll have to wait and see. We were worried about that with Kucherov and Stamkos for the Lightning, and we weren't worried too much. They played pretty well. So makes me think Carolina might still be okay. This might be Nashville's best chance to beat them, but I don't know if they're good enough to do that. Here's the issue I have with Nashville, Morenci. They played some really good hockey to get in the playoffs. I'm not going to take that away from them. Juuse Saros, when they committed to him as the number one goalie, things changed. They got Josi, Ekholm, and Ellis, their best three defensemen, back from injury. They got this young kid, Eli Tolvanen, back. They called him up, and when he got inserted into the lineup, their offense got a little bit better. All of that's great, but they expended a lot of energy to make the playoffs. And Carolina, the one thing they do is they possess the puck a lot. They have the puck more than their opponent in the majority of their games. So if Nashville's chasing the puck all night in this series, game in and game out, it's going to wear them out. It's going to wear them down, especially when you look at Josi, you look at Ekholm on the blue line. These are good defensemen, but they're older, aging defensemen. If they're chasing the puck around all night, that's going to tire them out four games out of seven, or in a best of seven series. You worry about that. Carolina's got incredible depth. And I look at these two teams, and I look at their forward group, Morenci. I think, which forward group can I count on to get it done for me? Nashville's got Johansson, who you can't count on at playoff time. Duchesne, you can't always count on him at playoff time. All these guys are question marks. Arvidsson. Forsberg's the only guy I can count on, I think, at playoff time. Carolina, I can count on Aho, Svechnikov, Niederreiter, Trocheck, Teravainen. They've all stepped up in the past at playoff time. Their blue line 1-6 is deeper than Nashville. Alex Nedeljkovic can be just as good, if not better, than Saros. And same with Peter Mrazek. We'll see where Brind'Amour goes with his goaltending. I think Carolina wins the series. I think I'm going to stay off the side in game one, because Nashville, because of the layoff for Carolina, this is probably their best chance maybe to rise up and beat Carolina. I just don't think they're good enough to do it. I like Carolina -1.5 games in the series to win by six games or less. I like the over, actually, five a little bit. Over five in game one. It's a low total. Carolina could be, with the layoff, a little bit sloppy with the puck. That usually leads to offense. And look, these totals of five in the NHL, most of the time they've trended over. That's the thing I like most in game one, is the over.
Ian Cameron, a.k.a. Babano, kick it with us. And the Canes are -280 series favorites. So it's interesting that they're not bigger favorites in game one, actually. That's what sort of struck me when I saw the 188. But you raise good points, Babano. Yeah, one thing, this really is the classic case, isn't it, of you, if you're Nashville, you're peaking at the right time, bro. You've been playing great hockey. You know, you're confident. You've been playing good hockey for the last month. Did you, you know, how much energy, how drained are you? I don't really know how drained they are. I don't think they're as good as Carolina, but they played eight times. Carolina won six of them, but Nashville won the last two times. And this is the classic case, Babano, as you stated. Carolina really haven't been, you know, playing urgent hockey, you know, desperate hockey. They've been going through the motions for a while, right? They've been going through the motions for a while. And it's a classic case of, you got a team that's been, you know, is good, been going through the motions, against a team that's pretty good, that's really coming on and peaking right now. Sort of like, you know, in the NFL playoffs, that team that gets hot, Babano, in the last month of the season, and they just ride it into the playoffs. It's too bad. It's actually too bad for Nashville, isn't it? Because they are playing so good, but they got to deal with Carolina.
That's right, and you're right. I will say there's a disclaimer to those two last two Nashville wins against Carolina. Carolina had clinched first in the Central already in those two games, and the one game was Pekka Rinne's final game maybe as a Nashville Predator, and his final game maybe in the NHL. They were really stoked
to
win that game.
But it's hard to just flick the switch, Babano, with these teams, right? Some teams can do it, and some teams can't. We'll see about Carolina.
Like, I love Carolina in the series, but I want no part of them here in game one. I'm staying off because I think they win the series. So there's no way I'm back in Nashville if I think that. but I don't think game one is the spot I'm looking to back Carolina. I'm going to wait. This is maybe the game. If Carolina's going to steal one in this series, this is it. Unfortunately, they haven't won in Carolina this year. That does concern me a bit. Like I said, I'm going to stick mostly to the over in this game with a total of five. If there's one game where Carolina could be a little sloppy, out of sorts, maybe at the defensive end, and if Nedeljkovic starts, it's his first ever playoff start, maybe you get a little jitters for him. I think we could see a couple more goals than the low total indicates.
All right, we've got a massive number on the board once again here for the Colorado Avalanche, and it's pretty clear that the Avalanche are the public team, right? The casual bettor. The public player from New Jersey sports books all the way out to the West Coast and everywhere else in between. People just like betting on the Colorado Avalanche. And we saw it, man, the other night, bro, was minus 590, right, in that game. It actually got up to minus 590. And the Avalanche have routinely been like minus 280, minus 300 throughout the year. And here they are right now at FanDuel. It's even gone up. It keeps climbing. It's at 295 right now. It's at 295. The Avalanche on the puck line, minus a puck and a half, minus 108. The Blues getting a puck and a half is minus 111. And the Blues in an upset is plus 240. What do you make of game one here tomorrow night?
Well, it's going to be a challenge, obviously, for St. Louis. Now, we know they've got the Stanley Cup pedigree and the experience. This team is beaten up beyond belief, though. Coming into this series, and that's a concern. I mean, Colton Parayko may not play, and he's the best defenseman they have. With all due respect to Torrey Krug, Parayko, I think, is their best all-around defenseman. Vince Dunn, another blue liner, he's out indefinitely with an upper body injury. They're already missing Carl Gunnarsson, so there's three bona fide starting defensemen potentially missing for game one for St. Louis. And now, word that David Perron, who's been one of their better offensive players this year, he's now on the COVID-19 protocol list, added to it over the weekend here, and is not going to play for the Blues on Monday night in game two and game one of this series. So it is just a lot of personnel loss against a team that, look, I get it was L.A., and there was obviously to win the division, but it was Colorado playing keep away. I don't think L.A. touched the puck all night. The only time they had it was when they gave it away on a breakaway to L.A. for their one and only goal. But Colorado, when they play their A game, they are just outstanding, because the one thing that Colorado is different from a lot of teams, Morenci, is their blue line is mobile. They can skate like the wind, so they can pinch more often. They can take more chances. The blue line can step up in the offensive zone to keep pucks alive in the ozone, because they've got the speed to get themselves back and in defensive posture and in defensive position on transition rush opportunities, because they skate so well collectively, this entire Colorado blue line, so that even when they take chances, they can get back and not get caught in an odd man rush. That is why they're so dangerous here. St. Louis is going to try to make this a street fight, make this a physical, heavy forecheck kind of game. That's their only chance maybe to have success in this series, but they are riddled with key injuries. I don't see it happening in the cards for St. Louis. I think with their experience level, I'd be willing to give them a game or two, but not more than that. I think Colorado will advance.
Series total game props. A sweep is plus 340. Five games is plus 210.
Now, I respect the experience of St. Louis enough, Gabe, where I wouldn't want to bet the sweep.
No, I think I would say six. Yeah, I would say six.
I think so. In fact, that's what I bet. I actually bet Colorado in six at plus 425.
Oh, exact nice.
Result.
All right, nice. Colorado. Yeah, and that's what I'm trying to approach it. We've been telling people, Babano, and we'll continue that conversation on game time decisions tomorrow, about trying to bet all these playoff series at plus money, right? At plus money. So, you know, let's say you have eight plus money bets on, like, each series. I got a plus money here. I got that plus money. I got this to go seven. I got that plus money. And I'm not talking about plus money with the teams, but just plus money, you know, correlated correct series price. Hey man, you go 4-4, you're gonna make a lot of money, right? At all these plus prices, you know, you go 2-6, you'll still make money or break even, etc. So I think it's a good way to approach things, because you know, look, Colorado are -410. Can't lay -410
in
the series. So you got to find a way to bet that if you want to lay the game and a half. With the Colorado Avalanche, it's actually minus 200. Minus 200.
I'll give you another reason, too, Morenci, why Colorado's scary. Down the stretch, like we know Nathan MacKinnon, Gabriel Landeskog, Mikko Rantanen. That's the top line. They're outstanding, that trio. But we saw Andrei Burakovsky, Nazem Kadri, Jonas Donskoy, Tyson Jost, a bunch of these depth forwards play their best offensive hockey in the last 10 games or so of the regular season. If they get those depth forward players, those second, third, and fourth line players stepping up and chipping in and producing, good luck beating them. You know, the only concern, I guess, is Grubauer. There's still people not sold for some reason on Philip Grubauer, and all I see is him playing well and just being rock steady and consistent. He's given me no reason to doubt him. Still some people do. The one issue is I'm not concerned about Grubauer, Morenci. I'm concerned what happens if Grubauer gets injured. That's where the concern is, because Jonas Johansson and Devin Dubnyk, there is a huge drop-off from Grubauer to any one of those two guys. So it is imperative. They did not address the backup goalie spot as well as I would have liked Joe Sakic and this Avalanche team. So, look, all bets are off for Colorado if Grubauer gets hurt.
Ian Cameron, a.k.a. Babano. Follow him on Twitter, at Babano. Best way to find him, get all of his links, get on his mailing list and more. Babano, great insight. We'll catch up with you on Wednesday.
Thanks, Steve.
What is the winning edge? It's sports news you can use.
And you can only get it right here.
We are the Sports Grid Radio Network.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The Pips, the players, the hustlers, the people that bust them, and everybody else in between, including the Babanos with us on Sunday, Bloody Sunday. Great stuff with Ian Cameron. Jason B. Takafin will join us at level three. We always like to try to talk about as many different sports as we can, although we have been NHL playoff heavy tonight, justifiably so. The NHL playoffs have begun. Tomorrow night, Paul Bovey will join us in the first hour of the program, and Paul is one of the sharpest NBA cappers in the business. So he's a perfect guest. Tomorrow night will be NBA heavy, right? We're going to be NBA heavy. So speaking of the NBA, we've got an updated number right now. The Los Angeles Clippers. The Los Angeles Clippers will play the Dallas Mavericks in the playoffs. And if there was a team that really screwed around a lot over the last week to avoid this team and that team, and I don't know. So in the end, it wasn't meant to be, of course, unfortunately, the Lakers and the Clippers. But the Lakers are in the play-in game, and the point spread is the exact same, actually. So the Los Angeles Clippers are 6.5-point favorites in Game 1 over the Dallas Mavericks. 6.5-point favorites in Game 1. That's what the number is now for the Lakers over the Warriors. Lakers are 6.5-point favorites. It was 7. It's come down. There hasn't been any line movement in the last 20 minutes or so, but the numbers have been shaking and baking throughout the night. All right, so the Hornets and the Pacers get the party started on Tuesday night at 6:45 Eastern time. The Pacers are -3. No line movement in this game, right? There might be, you know, as it approaches. Listen, we're going to be betting the game. I'm just not ready to say, oh, yeah, just, you know, that's a slam dunk. We're going to be laying it down on that. I will be taking the Washington Wizards. And anybody that tunes into our shows knows I've been pimping the Wizards all year long. We've been riding the Wizards. When the Wizards were crap earlier in the year, they were covering numbers, but in-game numbers. They were great. Like, the Wizards would be getting smoked, man, all right? Like, they were a horrible first-quarter team earlier in the year. They'd be losing, like, you know, 37-12. You get the Wizards plus 18.5, and they would cover. But then they started winning games. A late-night anger management class. We got some diamond talk coming up. More basketball, number check, and more. This is Sports Rage.
Remember that state championship game you played in high school? Yeah.
We can't get over it either.
This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.